Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Tonight I'm going to be ministering on a particular topic, and most of us, many of us in this place tonight, we have heard preaching, good preaching on who we are in Christ, and how many of you know who you are in Christ? Amen. You know what Jesus did for us, and we're so thankful for that. And so, if there, in some churches, they don't know anything about that. They don't know anything about what Christ did for them. And so there's a great need to preach that message of who Christ is, what he did at the cross, and who we are in Christ and what we can do in his name and all of that. And if I sensed that was a great need tonight, then I would just yield my time to the gentleman from Peru and just let him preach that. Because the other Sunday morning, I just tell you, I sat there and just enjoyed that so immensely when Reverend Andrews preached and just laid it out so clear. And tonight I'm going to focus in just a little different direction. And one of the things that I'm going to be talking about is this aspect of helping us to walk, since we are in Christ, since Christ did this for us. There are some things that we need to do or that we can do that will help us in walking in the light of these things. Okay? And so probably, I'm guessing this, it's easier to hear who you are in Christ than it is to walk in what God has already given to us. How many of you have caught yourself wishing you had something and the Lord reminded you, I already gave you that in Christ? Isn't that right? And so sometimes we got to fine-tune our the way we look at things. And so I'm going to talk to you tonight, and I entitled my message tonight with a phrase that the Lord spoke to me a while back, and it's simply this, something that came whispering in my spirit: enlarge your thinking. Enlarge your thinking. And immediately went to this thought of a guest speaker that I had that came into a church that I was pastoring years ago. And so he asked, can we drive around town? He wanted to look at all the churches, and there was in the town I was in, there were no large churches. The largest church was a Baptist church, and it probably had 100 people in it, maybe a little more, but that was it, and the rest of them were smaller. And so as we drove along, and he saw all, and there were numerous, we had basically every denomination in that town that you could think of. So here's, I'll never forget what that guest speaker said. He said this. He said, just quietly, all of a sudden, he didn't necessarily say Marvin. He just kind of said it out loud, and it was as if he was speaking to himself, but it was kind of the Lord speaking, giving his thought. And he said this. He said, if I was the devil, I would have small churches with small groups of people thinking small thoughts about doing small things with small amounts of money. And I looked at him, and it was a shocking statement to me at that time. And it was a challenge to me in that I found myself not thinking big enough. Have you ever found yourself in a place where you weren't thinking big enough, that the thoughts that you were constantly entertaining were not at the level that God wanted you to be at? That God perhaps had spoken something to your heart. How many of you have had God speak something to your heart and your mind checked out on you? Kind of like Moses at the burning bush, you know, when God said, I've raised you up to lead Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. And he said, I want you to go and confront Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And you know, it was like one man said, he said, Moses probably responded, Lord, I don't talk so good and I don't hear so good either. You know, your mind just checking out on something. But listen to me. What do we do at that time, in times like that, when we catch it seems as if our thinking, our thoughts, our believing is not sufficient for the task that's ahead. E. Stanley Jones said this. He said this, the chief way that you and I are disloyal to Christ is when we make small what he intended to make large. And I want us to think about that for a moment, because too many times we're thinking on this level and God is desiring us to think thoughts that are big enough to encompass more territory than we're thinking about. And so it kind of reminds me back in the late 70s, I was driving a 70 Firebird. And, I'm driving along one night and I'm left the truck stop and I'm headed for home. And I'm driving down Highway 36 going west. And I come up on this. I'm just kind of, I'm living for the Lord best I knew how at that time. But, you had to believe it instead of looking. So you couldn't really see a lot of it. But, I got started. You know what I'm saying? And so, got my Firebird, got hair down to here and got my silk shirts and bell-bottom jeans, my boots on, and I'm cool, And I come up behind this car, just kind of poking along, and I can see by the taillights it's a Mustang. The enemy has been spotted. No, I'm kidding. Well, he wasn't quite going the speed limits. So I didn't think anything about it. I just really was in a pretty mild mood that night. I wasn't thinking racing or anything, okay? Just noted that it was a Mustang. So why they were going slow. So I just pulled out and went and go, nothing's coming. So I pulled out to go around him. I got up beside it and he took off. And I'm thinking, well, anyway. So I just got back in my lane and tooled along here. And pretty soon I come back up on this Mustang again. He slowed down again. And so I didn't think anything about it. I just thought, well, he's an idiot. And I'm gonna go around him. Well, I got up beside him. He took off again. Well, that aggravated me. You do it once, I'll give you a little mercy. You do it twice, you're just asking for it. And so I see the taillights coming, getting large again. He slowed down again. Well, at that point, I made a decision. We're not going to mess around with this. Now, the only way you can't mess around with that, if you got enough under the hood to deal with it. If you've got enough within to deal with it. Okay? And so I got up there, and so I all of a sudden floored it. I said, I ain't messing with you, man. I don't know what the problem is, but I'm leaving you in the dust. And so when I come up beside him and he floored it, it didn't do any good for him because I'm already running. I'm already running, and I kept running. And he tried to run with me, but I'm telling you, listen to me. We went down that road. Listen, well, I won't give you the details on that, but I'll suffice it to say this. The car that I was driving had what was needed on the inside to meet the demand that I asked of it. And that's the question sometimes, friend, is this. Do I have sufficient thoughts that will meet the demand or rise to the occasion of what God is asking me to do? Now, listen to me, my friend. That right there is where a lot of people, that's where people check out. That's where people stalemate. That's where they come to that place, and then all of a sudden they choke. That's a choking moment right there. And friend, you gotta learn how to handle those moments. It's called enlarging your thinking. And friend, you got to have enough foresight to look out ahead and to kind of sense what's coming, because even in the times when there's no demand made upon you, you need to make sure you got something within you that when God speaks, you'll be able to rise up in faith. You'll be able to rise up strong. You'll be able to think thoughts that are sufficient. You'll have vision to see what God is doing and to see that it's possible. Friend, listen to me. You got to get to that place. So here's the thing. Third John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I have in love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testify to the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Here, the Apostle John is writing a letter to a man named Gaius, and he is rejoicing. He greets Gaius, and he is rejoicing in the progress of Gaius' spiritual journey. And he's rejoicing that he's doing well. But there is a phrase in the middle of there, a key phrase in verse 2, where he says, just as your soul prospers. Just as your soul prospers. And friend, that is the key. What goes on in your soul will greatly determine whether you're going to walk in what Jesus paid for, in what Jesus died for, in what Jesus worked out for you in his redemptive work. Listen to me, my friend. If you don't have the right things in your mind and in your soul, listen to me, you probably won't make very many very good decisions, even though Christ has already done what he's done for you. Come on now. Don't get quiet on me. You see, here's the deal. How and what we continually think will greatly influence the rest of our life. Our faith, it'll affect our faith. It affects our efforts and what we endeavor to do. It affects our accomplishments. It affects our ideas of what God can do for us. It affects what we do in the church and in the kingdom of God. Listen to me. In this room, there are people of all kinds. Now, some of you are very, I'm just going to use this for example, are very missions-minded. In other words, you think about that. You save up. You do things so you can go on missions trips. Now, the reason you're doing that is not, it may be that God has spoken to you to do that, but you have accepted his thoughts of what you're supposed to be doing, and that is what you continually think about. That is what you do. That is what you dwell upon. That is, you dwell on it long enough that it becomes your desire. Now, there are some people in here, you're not missions minded at all. You're not there. And it all boils down to, again, what's in your thoughts. In other words, on a daily basis, that's not what you think about. You are thinking about something else. One person said this. He said, a man is what he thinks about all day long. Another person said this. He said, a man will always rise up to go in the direction of his most predominant thoughts. You entertain it long enough, you'll end up there. Now, I'm going to give, I just felt quickened to do this. And you can look straight ahead, and nobody will know it's you, okay? But if you have a sin problem in your life, it's because your thinking is wrong. Christ has already provided the victory over that. And you need to get your thinking straight. You need to start thinking about some other things. You better get into the Word of God to start thinking about what the Word of God has to say instead of on the pleasures of sin. Friend, one of these days, the pleasure will run out. Okay? And but it's that way with anything. You know what I'm saying? It's that way with any subject that you want to talk about. Listen to me. We are the products of what we continually think about. Our thinking our thinking actually affects everything. It affects what I believe, Brother Hagin said, and what we say, our believing affects what we say. In other words, it affects everything that we do. Starts with our thinking. In Isaiah 54, you can turn there with me, Isaiah 54, verses 1 through 3, God speaks to Israel. And I'm going to read that to you, and we can easily see that God is speaking to Israel, but I want to present this to you, but this is also God speaking prophetically to the church. So let's read this, and we'll begin with verse 1. Sing, O barren, O you who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Then he says this, enlarge the place of your tent, let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. And do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. And so it's easy to see that God is speaking to Israel, and even when he is speaking to Israel, who is destitute spiritually, he's talking about a time when they come back from captivity, and he will cause them to expand once again. Though it seems as if Israel will come back empty, barren, not bearing much fruit, but God is going to cause them to become spiritually fruitful again at some point in time, and they will flourish again. And he tells them, get ready for it. It's interesting that God speaks to Israel so they can change their thinking and raise their expectations of what will happen in their future. That's what God does. When God whispers something to your heart, what is he doing? He's giving you thoughts. He's giving you instructions. He's giving you words that will raise your expectation level so that you'll be able to look at and receive what God wants to do in your future. Amen. How many of you know God's getting me ready? Getting you ready. Look at your neighbor and say, God's getting me ready. Just testify to somebody. God's getting me ready. Let's look at him. Say it again. God's getting me ready. Getting me ready. Somebody ought to keep saying that. Matthew Henry said this about these verses. He said, if we apply this or these verses to the state of the Jews after the return out of captivity, it is a prophecy of the increase of their nation after they were settled in their own land. Jerusalem had been in the condition of a wife written childless or a desolate solitary widow, but now it is promised that the city should be replenished and the country peopled again. Now he goes on and says this, but we must apply it to the church of God in general. I mean the kingdom of God among men. And so it is that we can also take a look at this, and even though it was spoken directly to Israel, we can also see what it does this mean to the church today. And I'm afraid that we got a lot of small thinkers in the church today. Well, don't get quiet on me right now. I didn't point to you. I didn't mention your name at all. I didn't even look at you. I'm looking at the lights. Amen. But now listen to me. In order to get the job done of the kingdom of the gospel being preached in every nation, it takes big thoughts. It takes thoughts out of the ordinary. It takes thoughts beyond the town that you live in, beyond the city that you dwell in, beyond the state in which you reside, and even beyond the nation in which you are a citizen. Listen to me. You got to begin to think about the lost that are in other countries. You got to think about the hurting and those that are in need of help, and they need a touch from the Savior. You need to think think about those people and realize that God has a big plan, but he needs people who will embrace those big thoughts. And when God speaks and says, "Do this," you know, he's looking for people that would look up and say, "Why not? You know, why not me? I mean, might as well." Amen. Come on now. We can't sit around thinking small thoughts and just thinking about us four and no more and let the world go to hell and then praise God and say, "Your will be done," and expect to see much happen. You know what I'm saying? At least not through us. I don't know about you, but I'm not inclined to be a spectator. I'm not a very good spectator. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a very good spectator. I mean, I like going to games and watching games to a great degree, but you know what's even more fun is playing. Okay. And I'm just going to tell you. Listen to me. You're going to have to think a certain way if you're going to be involved in the kingdom of God to a great degree. You got to raise your thoughts, enlarge your thinking. Say enlarge your thinking. You see, it's like an army. For an army to be successful in battle, they must first have the right strategies and plans and thoughts so as to be prepared with the necessary supplies, resources, and firepower to take and keep the territory that they're proposing to take. It begins with plans, thoughts, ideas, and strategies. It's the same way in the kingdom of God. We are in a battle for the souls of men. And friend, you and I need to take our place in thinking thoughts, God's thoughts, embracing God's strategies. I'm going to take this territory. I'm going to take that territory. I believe I can do that in Jesus' name. I'm going to do it at the instruction of the Lord. When the Lord speaks to me to take the land, I'm not going to choke. I'm not going to get overwhelmed and go hide. I'm going to rise up. I believe I'm building right now. I'm working to have sufficient thoughts within me so that when I'm asked to do something, that which is in me will be able to rise up and be sufficient to accomplish the task. Amen. Amen. Come on now. Personally, this is true. As a church, we must discern God's plans, enlarge our thinking in line with what God said. This allows us to make plans and set goals that are at the level of what God wants us to accomplish. Amen? And so, it was said that Oral Roberts had a sign on his desk, "Make no small plans here." And so, we need to, what does that mean? Oral Roberts had another saying. He said this. He said, "If your dreams don't scare you when you go to bed at night, they're not big enough." How many of you know who Shakespeare was? I mean, you've heard of him. I mean, I didn't know him. I didn't ask you if you knew him. You know, none of you. I hope none of you are that old. But he did make a statement. I don't even know if he was a Christian or not, but I did make a statement. And it's worthy of repeating. He said, "Make not your thoughts your prison. Make not your thoughts your prison." What are we saying? Well, if you go back up into Isaiah 54, verses 2 and 3, you'll see these words. I'm going to point some words out. Enlarge, stretch out, do not spare, lengthen, strengthen, and expand. These are all words that show the importance of preparing ourselves for the plans that God has for our future. Thoughts, our thoughts, your thoughts are the links in the chain of the way that God wants you to go that allows you to make every step in that plan. You are either limited by your thoughts and end up not doing what God wants you to do, or your thoughts are large enough to allow you to reach the goals and believe that you can reach your full potential into what God has called you to do, and to have what God has called you to have, or allowed you to have, or what Jesus went to the cross. I think it's an affront to Christ for him to go and pay such a huge price, and then for us to think thoughts that would not allow us to partake of it. I think that's an affront to him. It would be as if saying, I know you did that, but thanks anyway. No thanks. Thank you for doing it, but no thanks. Listen, friend, let's not think small what God wanted to make large. Amen? Listen to me. God has so much out there for us. Somebody, I can tell you this, this has popped up in my spirit. Somebody, your business is not where it needs to be. You need to change your thinking. You need to enlarge your thinking. You say, yeah, but Brother Yoder, I tried to enlarge my thinking, and every time I do, I just seem to bounce back. I'm going to tell you something. You need to get some stuff in front of you. We're going to look at some things here in a moment that'll help you to enlarge your thinking. But listen to me. You need to pay the price to enlarge your thinking. It's not a comfortable journey, but it is a profitable journey. Amen. T.L. Osborne said this. He said, when the mind perceives God's abundance and begins to comprehend that he created the wealth of this earth for the blessing of his children, the walls of mental enslavement begin to crumble and the rainbow of God's plenty appears. Friend, listen to me. Listen to me. Let not your thoughts be your prison. Don't get enslaved by the thoughts you have. So having said all of that, let me just give you a couple of things here real quickly that'll help you to enlarge your thinking, to raise your level of thoughts so that you can embrace what God wants you to think about. Projects that need to be done in your own lives and in your families. You know, it's your house, and you say, I don't have the money, and how come that's not being... I just don't have what it takes. Listen to me. When you find yourself talking like that, you need to raise your thinking. You need to enlarge your thinking. You need to go back and do some things here that we're going to talk about. Somebody said, how come you hadn't done that yet? I just don't have it. You need to enlarge your thinking. Somebody said, I tried that, and I know God told me to do that, but it didn't turn out good. I'm just no good at that. I know God told me, but I'm just no good at it. Well, you need to quit singing that hound dog song. Why? Because God has a better song for you. Amen? We laugh at that. I'm no good, I'm no good, I'm no good song, but I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me, I can tell you unequivocally, God did not inspire that song. Because God never talks that way to anybody. So here we go. I've got a couple slides here. Let's put the first one up. First of all, to change your thinking so you can walk in what God has told you, read the exceeding great and precious promises of God's Word. Read those. Read them. What do I mean by when I say read? I don't mean read it while it's up there. That you know. Oh yeah, that's nice. I think that's right, Brother Marvin. That's right, Brother Marvin. I'll read them in the morning. I'll for sure do that. I'll go over them in the morning. Absolutely. Well, what about the next morning? And the next morning? And the next morning? How about for 30 days? How about for 60 days? How many of you think you could read the promises for 30 days? How many of you think you could do it for 60 days? How many of you think you could do it for a year? Let me tell you something. By the time you get done with it in a year's time, listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. You won't have, your thinking will be changed. You're going to be thinking at a level, and you're going to hang your head in shame because of the small thinking where you were locked in at. You said, my God, I didn't know.
But let me tell you, it starts with understanding it's the exceeding great and precious promises. How big are the promises of God? Exceedingly great. Anytime you're locked into small thinking. Now be careful. Stay seated. Anytime you're locked into small thinking, it means that you've been thinking of something else more than you have the promises of God. Because the promises of God will lift you up, expand your mind, and it'll show you possibilities. And then, you know, how many of you have ever read some of the promises of God? It was so wonderful. And then your mind thought, well, but that's too good to be true. You can't really live there, can you? But the answer is, if you keep it in your, if you get it ingrained in you and make it a way of your thinking, yes, you can live there. You can live that way. Amen. Find scriptures that speak to the areas you need to enlarge your thinking, that feed your thinking of where you want to be, what you want to accomplish, and help you fulfill God's will. Psalms 119:32 says this, I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. What's he going to do? If you'll stay with the Word, he'll enlarge things in you. He'll put the Holy Spirit working things inside of you. He'll enlarge your heart. He'll enlarge your capacity to believe. He'll enlarge your faith. He'll take your faith to another level. And to another level. And to another. He'll take you, listen to me, faith, he'll let you go to whatever level you want. He didn't look at you and say, now you're a two-level faith. You just stay right there. Don't you dare try to go to a three. You're in trouble if you go to a three. Matter of fact, I'll send somebody to take you back down if you go up, try to go up there. Now, you ought to know better than try to go up to a three, because nobody in your family has ever been higher than two. You know, the devil talked people like that, put people down, you know. Let me tell you something. God will let you go as high as you want to go. Yes, he will. Now, number two, next one, rely upon the Holy Spirit, who is greater than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. What does that mean? Listen to me. You start hanging around and listening to the Holy Ghost, he does not share small thoughts. He's going to share God-sized thoughts. He's going to share thoughts that reach around the world. He's going to share thoughts that'll raise your business. It'll cause your business to be profitable. He said, I am the Lord your God who teaches you how to profit and in the way that you should go. Let me tell you something. If he did that under the old covenant, certainly he's going to tell you today how to profit and which way to go, even as a businessman. Listen to me. God wants you to profit. Listen to me. I firmly believe this, that God wants business people to be profitable in their businesses. And you ought not be happy if your business isn't prospering. You ought to get mad when your business isn't prospering. And you start speaking to your business. You start talking to your business. Now you become profitable. I'm thinking thoughts of abundance. I call in the customers. I call in the sales. I call in the business. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to do without business. Come on now. Listen to me. When you're on a downhill, listen to me. I know in every business, listen to me, there's ups and downs. But let me tell you something. Don't let your down part be the level where you're going to be at. I will rise again. Because I'm not thinking at that level down there. I'm thinking at the level up high. I'm thinking at the possibilities up here. Come on now. Rely upon the Holy Ghost. Listen to me. You can either listen to the Holy Ghost or you can hang around some people that are small thinkers. How many of you ever noticed that you can tell where people's thinking is? Because of what they say. Listen to me. I know what the Holy Ghost is saying because of what he's saying to me. And he's written down a number of his thoughts. And he'll never say anything different than that. In other words, if he tells me something, like he said, enlarge your thinking, it's in line with what he's already written down. Do you know what I'm saying? So listen to me. You got to learn to hang around with the Holy Ghost and ask the Holy Ghost what to think, what he thinks about it, rather than asking all your friends about what they think. They may not be on the level. They may not be thinking on the level that God wants to take you. I remember one day I was so upset. I came home, told my wife about years. This is years ago, and I was working at this one place, and I came home, told my wife I was really upset. I mean, it just kind of got to me about a couple of workers, and I'm letting my wife, you know, instead of going and picking a bone with the workers and letting them know how I feel, I went home and. My poor wife caught it, you know. And you know what she said? Here's what she said. She said, but remember, Marvin, you're going someplace they're not. What does that mean? That means they're thinking a certain way. I'm thinking a different way. I'm going to, and my thinking is going to cause me to end up going a different way. It's going to go to a place that the others aren't going. Come on now. You can't make other people's problems your problems. But listen to me. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to hang around the Holy Spirit and listen to train yourself to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit on the inside so that you can hear His voice. It's His voice and what He says and what He's written down in His Word, in the Word of God, that's going to raise you up and help you to be at the level that the Father has ordained for you to be at. Amen. Let's go to the next one. Next slide. Reside with the people of God who bless our God, make the voice of His praise to be heard. According to Psalm 66, verse 8, He tells us that. He says this, bless the Lord with the people of God who bless the Lord. Listen to me. I've met some people who said they were Christians, but you couldn't tell it by what they said. They weren't praising the Lord. How many of you ever met grouchy Christians? I met it. You know, I mean, pickle religion, you know, dill pickle religion. Kind of evidently, I mean, you know, must have been it's just one of those things, must be painful where they're at or something. I don't know why they're grouchy. But now listen to me. You got to learn to hang. You got to find the right company. You got to find people of faith. You got to find a place where they believe God. You got to find a place where they discover what you're thinking and the thoughts that you're thinking and what God has said to you, they'll cheer you on and say, hey, we're right there with you. We're going to call upon the name of the Lord with you. We're going to exalt the name of the Lord. We're going to magnify the name of the Lord. Together we'll magnify the name of the Lord. That's the company you got to run in. Got to run in the right company. The disciples were beaten and threatened, told not to preach the name of Jesus. They went back. What did they do? Went back to the name, to their own company. They went back to a people who believed God, who hooked up with them in prayer and unity. They called upon a great God, and they had a prayer meeting, and they believed God, and the building shook, and they shook, and miracles and signs and wonders happened. Greater things. Man told them this is what you can do, and they set imposed limitations upon them, but they got together with the people of God, and they raised their thoughts because they began to think about the God of heaven who had graciously shown them a Savior and graciously allowed them to come into salvation at such a time as this. And so now they're worshiping God and magnifying the Lord. And what does that do? It raises their thoughts and causes them to think higher, causes them to think boldly, causes them to preach boldly, causes them to act boldly, boldly lay hands upon the sick, and they do recover. Amen. Enlarge your thinking. Enlarge your thinking. But listen to me. You got to hang around the right people if you're going to run with God. You got to run with God's people. You can't hang around with people who are small thinking and say, okay, I'm going to do great things for God. It'd be like expecting a little small car to pull a semi trailer. It doesn't work. You can't be hooked up together with the wrong thing and then run, make great progress. Come on now. See, something happens when you get together with God's people. Reside. Where are they going to find you when the church doors open? They ought to find you here. Why? Something happens. Don't cheat yourself out of God doing something in your life by staying home. Boy, I didn't get so many amens that time, did I, Brother Jeremy? I'll tell you the truth about it. I don't know if they didn't understand. You think they didn't understand me? I'll tell you the truth about it. I said, don't cheat yourself out of what God has for you by staying home. Something happens when you get together in church. You say, well, brother, I know, I just usual. I had the old sister so-and-so on this side, and I had old brother so-and-so on that side, and I don't know, that didn't look like they ever got anything. I don't know. Well, the friend of the fact of the matter is, listen to me, it's not so much who's on your left and who's on your right, but what really matters is that corporately we've come together under the banner of Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if you'll just stay sensitive, listen to me, sister so-and-so may be the way she is, and brother so-and-so may be the way they are, but blessed be God in the midst of it all. Somehow God brings us something that is so exciting and so uplifting and causes us to be built up. We walk out. Listen, you can come in discouraged, but you'll come out encouraged. You'll come in seemingly in defeat, and you'll go out with victory in hand. Come on now. Don't cheat yourself out of what God has for you by staying home. Okay? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says it this way, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What does that mean? In the glory of God, when God is allowed to minister, when people believe together, listen to me, there God can speak to us. There our hearts are more towards God. There, when the worship is going on, our attention is more on God. Our thoughts are raised up, and something happens when we get together in church. Amen. And I'm also going to give you a word to the wise. Follow those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. I always like to look at it this way. If I'm going to follow a leader, I need to know that you got something. Amen. I need to know that his faith can produce something. And I can tell you, it's wonderful. That's why I like sitting under Pastor Hagin. You know what I'm saying? Look what, Pastor Miss Hagin, the family, all that. Right. Faith works. Faith is working. Amen? All right, last one. Raise your voice to magnify the Lord and exalt his name together. What do you mean by that? Well, here's what it says in Psalms 34:3, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. That's what David said. Now, David kept rising up and rising up and rising up, rising up. Enemies came at him, threatened with death. Even family threatened to kill him. All kinds of people came after him. Many times his life was threatened, and many times it looked like he was going down. But what did he do? What did he do? What did David do? He said this, magnify the Lord with me and exalt his name together. Come on, stand to your feet. Listen to me. What's the first word? Leave that slide up there just for a moment. Look at that. It says magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. How the word magnify means to make bigger. How are you going to do that? Listen to me. If you'll raise your voice to exalt him, let me tell you, something happens in you. You raise your voice and you begin to praise God, let me tell you, something's going to happen in you. Listen to me. Thoughts will come. Strategies will come. Plans will come. The will of God will be made known. That's why you need to lift your voice. It's important that you lift your voice. Your voice. Now, you don't just let the singer sing. Don't let just the singer sing. Don't just look at him and say, I wish I had that. Let me tell you something. In the middle of a worship service, it really doesn't matter whether you sing the song or not, so much as it is whether you lift your voice to God and exalt Him. Amen? Come on now. Somebody ought to lift their voice just for a few moments here. I know it's time to go, but it's not time to go yet, because we need to exist. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Lift your voice and exalt His name. Come on, block out everything else. And just begin to lift your voice and praise God. Magnify God. Just begin to look at Him. The greatness of God. The majesty of God. The how big God is. The mighty power of God. How He is from everlasting to everlasting. How He is above all things. Greater is He. He is greater than anything. Greater than anybody. Listen to me. God is greater. We exalt Him. We magnify Him. We bless Him. We honor Him. We expand our thoughts about God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We expand our thoughts. We enlarge our thoughts about what God can do in our lives. Oh, yeah. I keep getting it. I keep getting it. Somebody here is at a stalemate. Let me tell you something. You're at a standstill. I tell you, you ought to lift your voice and you need to praise your way out of it. You need to magnify the Lord until you have thoughts that rise up in your mind that are sufficient to get you beyond where you're at right now, to break out of the box that the devil trying to put you in. Exalt His name. Bless His name. Honor His name. Revere His name. Give glory to His name. Hallelujah. 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 Oh God, You're worthy. Oh God, You're wonderful. God, You're so good. God, You're so good, good, good. Oh, God, You're so good. You're beyond what we can imagine. Hallelujah. We cannot exhaust Your goodness. We cannot exhaust how wonderful You are. We cannot fathom how the depth of Your greatness. Hallelujah. Words escape us to sufficiently describe how big, how mighty, how awesome You are. Hallelujah. We worship You and magnify Your name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, give glory to God. Come on now. Just another moment or two. Come on. Somebody ought to give some praise to God. Bless His name. Thank God for His word. Thank God for His word. Get your Bible. Get your device in your hand. Just hold it in your hand. Say, thank You for Your word. 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 Thank You, Father, for Your word. Hallelujah. We will read the promises of God again and again and again and again. We will look to the word of God, the exceeding great and precious promises. Hallelujah. These promises that we have in hand, we will look at them again and again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now lift your hands. Thank Him for the Holy Spirit who's inside of you. Holy Spirit, I thank You that You're the big. You're big. You're mighty. You're great. You're awesome. Hallelujah. You're greater. And You live in us. You help us. You help us on Sunday. But not only that, You help us the rest of the week. Any day of the week, we call upon You and You are ready to help. You're ready to make big in us what Christ did at the cross. Hallelujah. You proclaim what Christ did at the cross in our lives. You bring us thoughts of what Jesus paid for. When the enemy comes, Holy Spirit, I know You quicken the thoughts of the Word of God to us so that we may speak it and successfully defend ourselves against the enemy. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we thank you. And Father, we thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for the people of God, the people of faith, the people who believe God, the people who will dare to think thoughts like you think, Lord, thoughts of your word, who will not draw back when the Holy Spirit speaks, but they will embrace what the Holy Ghost has to say. And they say, yes, I'll take that. I'll walk in that. Me, that's me. I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Finally, we do thank you, Lord, that we can raise our voice. We can raise our voice anytime we want to and praise God. We can exalt his name and bless his name. We can do it anytime you want to. Anytime. And you know, listen to me. You ought to be doing it more than you want to, because there are going to be times when you don't want to. But you ought to do it anyway. You ought to do it anyway, because then the want to comes. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just wanted to give you this. Just encourage you. Enlarge your thinking. Enlarge your thinking. I got this picture while I was standing over there. The Lord showed me this picture of somebody walking along, and the path that he had walked on was a solid line. And at that point, he's right there. I could not tell whether it was the end of his life or whether he had stopped. It was one or the other. And I saw a dotted line going on towards something I couldn't see. But the rest of the story was that he was stopped or had passed away before he had gotten to everything that God had for him. I want to tell you something. Let's not let that be us. Let's begin to think the thoughts of God. Let's embrace the thoughts of God that we may finish our journey and finish it well. Hallelujah. Amen. I can only tell you what I saw. I saw that picture right there and I thought to myself, I resolved inside of me that will not be me. I will think the thoughts of God. I will walk the ways of the Lord. And when the Lord gives me a task, I'm determined to be prepared that I may be able to rise up with that which is in me and will be sufficient to accomplish the task. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. We got prayer counselors coming, and they're going to be praying with you for needs. If you have need of salvation, you need healing, you need to get right with God, you have need of God to provide something for you, make a way for you, whatever it might be, problem you might have, listen to me, my friend. These people will pray. These are the people of God who are not going to try to limit you and what you can receive from God, but help you to receive from God. Got the ladies over here. Ladies, if you want prayer, go over to these ladies. Guys, come over to these guys right here, and we'll hook right up and believe God together. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, praise him one more time before you go. Come on now. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. God is worthy to be praised. We magnify his name. Bless his name. Glory, glory, glory. God bless you.